hope you're enjoying going through this particular book of the Bible, and I'm certainly enjoying getting into the Old Testament. And you know, sometimes it's a little interesting, some of the things we get into as we go through, but it is good to read and learn and know the whole counsel of God from cover to cover in the Bible. So Joshua chapter 9 this morning. And I will pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And as we have it open this morning and we study through a portion of it, we pray that we would learn from you, from your word. We pray your spirit would work in our hearts, our minds, to help us understand and then also convict us or direct us in how to apply your word to our lives. And so we thank you for the Holy Spirit who does help us. And we thank you for your word, which is your counsel to us. We lift up the children downstairs as they learn from your word, they practice their memory verses. And Lord, we pray that this would bear fruit in their lives. We pray that they would grow strong in faith. And Lord, may we grow stronger in faith as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So Joshua 9. The farther we get into the book, the longer the review. So I'm going to keep it pretty short this morning, or try to. The Israelites are now in the Promised Land. We know, of course, they came out of Egypt. The first opportunity they had to enter the Promised Land, cross the Jordan, they lacked faith, and they did not enter the land. Joshua and Caleb had faith. They would enter the Promised Land. But a generation died in the wilderness, and then they got another opportunity, and they did enter the Promised Land of Canaan that the Lord had promised to them as far back as Abraham. And we've looked at a number of miracles along the way. So at this point, they've crossed the Jordan. The waters were stopped. They've defeated Jericho. They have dealt with sin in their midst. They failed to, in their first attempt to conquer Ai, they failed because of sin. And really lack of prayer. Asking the Lord, should they go up against this city? They rededicated themselves to the Lord and then followed God's plan the second time, which we looked at last week. And so they've defeated that particular city now. And so we pick up in chapter 9, and they've experienced all this stuff, some ups and downs along the way, and now they're going to carry on. And there's another group called the Gibeonites. So we will look at, and picture this too, like the nations, like these city-states, if you will, in Canaan, they had heard about the Israelites, and they saw it happen to Jericho. They saw it happen to Ai. In that first attack, they can lose a battle. But then Israel went on to defeat that city. And I love the picture there when they do last week. Joshua and his arm outstretched with his spear. Somewhat like Moses when he had his arms held up. And he built that altar afterwards. Moses did to Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is our banner. So when we fight battles or walk through any day, we want to do it with the Lord as our banner. You know, He is our King. He is the one over us. And when we do that, the victory is sure. It doesn't mean there will be no battles, but the victory is sure. So they've learned lots of things, and here we are in chapter 9. Let's just get into it. Well, they've experienced a lot of things. And it's interesting what happens in this chapter. So verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass when all the kings who were on this side of the Jordan, that is, after they crossed into all the kings in Canaan, in the hills and in the lowland and in all the coasts of the great sea towards Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, heard about it, that they gathered together to fight with Joshua and Israel with one accord. So Jericho and Ai have fallen at this point, and now the others are going, we need to band together. They did not always get along with each other, but they had a common threat, if you will. So we see a bunch of them are going, okay, we've seen that they've lost the battle, and our only option here is to combine our forces and do battle with Israel. So they are fearful, but they don't fear God in that sense of the fear of the Lord. They're fearful for their own skin, for sure. So they make an alliance. Verse 3, but when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they worked craftily and pretended to be ambassadors. And they took old sacks on their donkeys, old wineskins torn and mended, old and patched sandals on their feet, and old garments on themselves. And all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. They went to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal, and said to him and to the men of Israel, we have come from a far country. Now, therefore, make a covenant with us. And it's interesting that, and we'll see it as we go through this chapter, that these guys in the Gibeonites, while they knew of what was going on, it was close to them. They weren't very far away. They pretended like they were. But they had heard, we'll see, they had heard about the Israelites right from when they, God delivered them from Egypt. And like this, and that's some 40 years prior, and then also what had happened recently. And they're like, this is it, this isn't good. It would seem they knew that Israel was commanded not to make treaties. And that command was given to them by Moses. They could make a treaty with someone outside of the promised land, but not anyone within. And remember, we've talked about very much Israel going into Canaan was not only God delivering on the promise of a land for them, and it was, but it was also a judgment on some very, very wicked nations who had, you know, roughly several hundred years to change their ways and repent, and they did not. So there is that going on as well. It is very much a judgment on extreme wickedness, and the Lord had said, don't spare them. Go in, wipe them out. And we talked about this. We've talked about it in the past, earlier in Joshua. Like we go, that's like, how could God do that? How could He judge them? And I think at times we shy away from that. And it is like, it's bloody. It is. But God is just and God is holy, and there will be judgment. Like that judgment on the Canaanites, is it somehow more severe than the judgment at the great white throne judgment when those whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life are judged for eternity? So God is holy. He is well within his rights to decide just what judgment's going to look like. And we know that he is so gracious to those who will reach out to him in faith. So there's judgment on these Canaanite nations. So the Gibeonites, so one group's going, we need to ally to get, be, have an alliance to fight the Israelites. The Gibeonites are going, we are going to come up with a different plan. And in verse 10, chapter 10, it actually says that, where is it? It's verse 2. In verse 2, that they are greater than Ai, and all its men were mighty. That means something. They were mighty. They had some impressive warriors in their midst. It says all of them. They were fighting men, these men. But they're going, it's not going to work. We need a plan. It's kind of a scheme, but it's a plan. They're looking, trying to look after themselves. So they work craftily. They misrepresented themselves. They went to a lot of work to make their clothing, their food, everything look like they'd been trekking across a desert for weeks. I picture like, we barely made it. Please make a treaty with us. And Joshua and the leaders that are listening to this, they have a decision to make. When it comes to schemes or craftiness, I'm reminded of Ephesians 6. We went through Ephesians before Joshua. So Ephesians 6, 10 and on for a few verses. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the schemes of the devil. And it goes on to say, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So as I've said before, we're not the Israelites entering the promised land, but we are God's people. We are his children. And day by day, we have all these opportunities to either walk by sight or by faith, to live in God's promise or choose something else. And we need to be careful that we aren't drawn in by, well, the wiles of the devil, by schemes. And as we talked about in Ephesians, we need to put on the full armor of God, not some of the armor of God or none of it. But even some leaves us somewhat open to attack or deception. So these Gibeonites have put a lot of effort in. Like, they've tried to think of everything to make, you know, a solid case here. And they said, make a covenant with us. Verse 7, then the men of Israel said to the Hivites, perhaps you dwell among us. So they're a little bit wary. Well, maybe you're not from far away. How can we make a covenant with you? But they said to Joshua, we are your servants. We're your friends. We're your servants. And Joshua said to them, who are you and where do you come from? So he's asking some questions of them, which is good. So they said to him, from a very far country your servants have come, because of the name of the Lord your God, for we have heard of his fame and all that he did in Egypt. So they've heard. And all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who was at Ashtaroth. Therefore, our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, take provisions with you for the journey and go to meet them and say to them, we are your servants. Now, therefore, make a covenant with us. This bread of ours we took hot for our provision from our houses on the day we departed to come to you. But now look, it is dry and moldy, like they're laying it on thick, right? And these wineskins which we filled were new, and see, they're torn, and these our garments and our sandals have become old because of the very long journey. They put some effort into this deception. It seems they had a respect for the God of Israel, a fear. We don't have all the details, so we don't know really what heart they came with. But they know they need to make a deal. They had heard of his fame, of what the Lord had done. Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions to look at it, right? But they did not ask counsel of the Lord. So Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live, and the rulers of the congregation swore to them. So they took an oath. They swore before God that they would be, that they would have this covenant together. And verse 14, this is the one, I have a couple things underlined in my Bible, but this is the one that I would underline and star and circle and everything else. It says, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. So they asked questions, they inspected, but they did not ask counsel of God. And they made this treaty, if you will. And I look at it and go, they believe the enemy's lie. And it was convincing. And there was one thing specifically that could have changed that outcome. They could have asked counsel of the Lord, and they did not. So it's like, how could they skip that? How could Joshua, this great leader, forget? Think about what happened at Ai. It's not that long ago. And honestly, they get duped. And you gotta go, how could that happen? Now the thing is, thinking about it, how often have many of us done the exact same thing in this? Not with the Gibeonites, but we have failed to inquire of the Lord on a certain matter. And then we've got the fallout from it afterwards. And so, for me, that is a standout in this chapter. But they did not ask counsel of the Lord. So, and the but, it's like they did all these different things by sight. Like, okay, check this, check that, ask questions. But they didn't ask God. We look at the armor in Ephesians 6, the helmet of salvation, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit. Like sometimes we forget that included in there at the end of that description is prayer. Talking to God, inquiring of the Lord, bringing things before him. It is so important, and honestly, it's amazing how easy it is to forget. It's like, oh, I got this. That makes sense. This is logical. No, everything's adding up. Inquire of the Lord. Always inquire of the Lord. Like, what's going to go wrong by inquiring of the Lord? Nothing will go wrong from praying to him. if it's a poor prayer, he'll go no. You know, poor in the sense of not lining up with his will, in that sense. He'll be like, no, the answer's no. So, prayer. Do not forget to pray. And don't complicate prayer. Here, just saying, inquire of the Lord. Ask a question of him. They asked questions of the Gibeonites. They forgot to ask God. Are they liars? I believe if they had, he would have said, yeah, they're lying. They just live over there. And so they end up making a covenant with them, which goes directly against what they were told. Exodus 34:12. I won't turn there, but there you can find the command, do not make any treaties with any of these nations. 2 Corinthians 6:14 and on, there we find where Paul talks about not being unequally yoked. That applies to us. Okay, so we're not going to make a treaty with someone, a nation, but unequally yoked, going into different things. You know, marriage is one we commonly go, don't be unequally yoked there with an unbeliever. It's God's command. But we can apply this to other areas of life as well, business and so on. Don't be unequally yoked. You don't have the same view. You don't have the same convictions. There will be problems. It may look like it's going to be fine, but there will be problems down the road when we become unequally yoked. And Paul talks about, you know, well, let's read it. We should turn there. 2 Corinthians 6. I'll start with. Let's go 14 to 16. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And it carries on. You can look at that closer later. The point being, don't make treaties with those that God has said don't make treaties or be yoked up with. Now ask God's counsel. Walk by faith, not by sight. Sight. We like sight. I like sight. I like to see everything. Okay, that lines up. That, yeah. Mm-hmm. Walk by faith. So verse 16. So now they've made the covenant. And it happened at the end of 3 days after they had made a covenant with them that they heard that they were their neighbors who dwelt near them. Then the children of Israel journeyed and came to their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon, Chethberath, Beeroth, and Kirjath, and Jearim. But the children of Israel did not attack them because the rulers of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation complained against the rulers. Then all the rulers said to all the congregation, we have sworn to them by the Lord. So this is what's happened. By the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We will let them live lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swore to them. So Joshua and the other leaders have made a mistake, is what we see. It compounds. So they didn't inquire of the Lord, so then they make this treaty. Not only do they make this treaty, but they swear before God. It seems there's no conditions attached. Even with Rahab, remember, they swore to her, you'll be delivered, but there was some conditions. If you turn us in, that deal's off. They didn't do that either. They even say, yeah, we'll make a treaty, but if you're lying to us, forget it. So they made a mistake. They've taken this oath. You could say, well, this is war. You know, they were deceived. And why don't they just say, you know what, you lied to us, forget it. We're coming. We're going to wipe you out. They took an oath before God, and God takes that very seriously. God takes covenants seriously. And they could not go back on their oath now without disobeying God. So now it became an obedience. Well, it's all obedience to God or not. But this becomes now a new one. Okay, now we have to keep this. We took this oath, we made this promise, and we're going to abide by it. So they do make a right decision here not to add to their problems by now breaking this. But it's difficult. Like, the nation is going, what have you done? They're complaining against them. They are familiar with the consequences of not obeying God. And so they're going, like, I imagine they're going, like, what's going to happen to us now? Because you guys have messed this thing up pretty badly. But it seems Joshua and the leaders made the right decision. I suspect they did inquire of the Lord at this point. I'm sure Joshua did, like, what do I do now, Lord? This is a mess. And so they know, he knows, we have to honor this commitment we've made. They acknowledge their mistake, and they honor their word. One of the things we've talked about in our men's study, in difficulty, what do? Well, we go to the Lord and then we do what is right. We go to the Lord, we hear from him, and then we do what is right. And so I see, I believe that's what Joshua and the leaders are doing. Now it's like, we've made a mess of it. What do? Okay, we have to honor this. We're going to do that. And we see later in 2 Samuel 21 that King Saul, and you can look that up later, 2 Samuel chapter 21, if you want to look it up. King Saul had broken this promise to the Gibeonites. And his son brought famine upon Israel in the days of David. The Lord was displeased, even generations later, when someone, Saul, really violated this covenant, this oath. So God takes these things very seriously. Best not to go there, really. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, as Jesus said. Verse 21, and the rulers said to them, let them live, but let them be woodcutters and water carriers for all the congregation, as the rulers had promised them. Then Joshua called for them, and he spoke to them, saying, why have you deceived us, saying, we are very far from you when you dwell near us? Now, therefore, you are cursed, and none of you shall be freed from being slaves, woodcutters and water carriers for the house of God. Joshua is not happy. I don't blame him. And so he says to the Gibeonites, okay, we'll honor the oath, the covenant we made with you, the treaty. But as you said, you are our servants, and so you shall be our servants. In fact, you will be, as it puts it here, slaves permanently. It's not going to change. He says, slaves, woodcutters, and water carriers for the house of God. This is certainly not the worst thing that could happen. He's like, okay, you will now serve the house of God. That is what your people will do. You will be our servants. Woodcutters and water carriers for the house of my God, the house of God. I look at it and going, well, it's a curse, but it's, he put them where they would serve, but they would serve God. And I believe they would learn of God. And we see the Gibeonites as, they just pop up here and there in Israel's history, and they were those who carried on doing this. We don't hear of them drawing the Israelites into idolatry like many of the foreign nations did. One of David's mighty men was a Gibeonite. So we see, like, this is what was, Joshua said, this is how it will be. And they, we'll see, said, yeah, okay. Verse 24, their answer. We'll read to the end. So they answered Joshua and said, because your servants were clearly told that the Lord your God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore, we were very much afraid for our lives because of you and have done this thing. So they're saying, yeah, we tricked you, but we felt we had no option. 25, I believe, is significant. And now here we are in your hands. Do with us as it seems good and right to do to us. So he did to them and delivered them out of, this is Joshua, so he did to them and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel so that they did not kill them. You can kind of picture that the people, certainly some of them, I think, were saying, let's wipe them out. You guys made a mistake, but let's wipe them out. But Joshua says no, delivers them. They do not kill them. 27, and that day Joshua made them woodcutters and water carriers for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord in the place which he would choose even to this day. So it carried on. And we are not told, I want to be clear, we're not told all the details. I do personally believe that Joshua did seek the Lord on this, and that I think it's unlikely that he just sort of dreamed up this plan on his own, but that he followed the Lord's guidance in going, okay, this is what's going to be prescribed for you. You'll be the woodcutters and water carriers for the house of God, or for, as we see, for the altar of God. It's a lowly position, but it actually seems like one that has some honor attached to it because it's in service to the Lord. So, like I said, we don't know the heart of the Gibeonites. Verse 25 causes me to think or consider that, you know, they were willing to submit and say, do as you will. Like, do as you will. We're in, well, it said, we are in your hands. do with us as seems good. They were a strong group, right? Many mighty men. Joshua said, you're going to be the servants, woodcutters and water carriers. I suspect they would have had the opportunity to go, no, we're going to rally the troops and we'll meet you on the battlefield. They do not. They do realize that this God of Israel is, he seems real. And he has given the Israelites this land. So it's not as clear as, say, with Rahab. It's clear she feared God and entrusted herself and her family to the Lord and was delivered. The Gibeonites, it's not that clear what their motives were, but in the end, they did go, do with us as you will. And they were spared. It was not God's original plan, unless if they had inquired, the Lord would have said, do this with these people. But Joshua and the leaders did not inquire of the Lord. I see it as God taking a mistake, a disobedience of the Israelites, and then as there's a humility and seeking the Lord, making something good of it. It's not promoting disobedience, but it's highlighting the grace of God when there's humility and a seeking him. And so for the Gibeonites, they are punished. The Israelites as well. It's like, okay, now you're going to have to deal with these guys. But there is blessing in it. Psalm 84:10, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. It seems this happened for the Gibeonites. And I see in 25, we see Joshua delivers them from the hands of the people, if you will. And Joshua, it's not a perfect representation, but we see in Joshua a picture of Christ. His name means the Lord saves. And he is a man. He made mistakes, like not inquiring of the Lord. But I think in 25, it reminds me, he delivers them. He extends God's mercy to them. And I think of, wow, isn't God merciful to us? Yeah. We have our schemes and our plans and our sinfulness. And God came up with a plan to save us and reconcile us to himself. So the treaty was a mistake. Scheming is wrong. Also, God will extend grace. So, and I think for all the error we see with the Gibeonites, like scheming and plotting, verse 25, here we are in your hands, do with us what seems good and right. The person who calls on the name of the Lord, the one who essentially goes to the Lord and says, I'll submit my will to yours. Do what is good and right in your eyes. God will work with a person who will do that, who will have that kind of humility and receive his gift of salvation, of reconciliation to himself. And it's that not walking by sight or with us on the throne, but going, God, thank you. Thank you for the debt, for paying the debt that I owe. Jesus paid that debt. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Paul tells us. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, in this I see, and like I said, it's not like laid out for us, but we look at and see where things started, how it finished. We see God's grace. Even in the Old Testament, and this view that the God of the Old Testament is harsh and cruel and there's no grace or mercy, and the God of the New Testament is different, he's loving and kind and gracious, it's false. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. He has not changed from beginning to end. And I think with the Gibeonites, while it's a story of not obeying God, not having the right practices for the Israelites, especially the leaders, it is a story of redemption for the Gibeonites. And I think it's very notable that through Israel's history, we don't see them leading the Israelites astray. But actually, we see them pop up at times, and they're doing what is right. They're being faithful to their side of this. And then also the Lord did expect that the Israelites, even generations later, respect this oath that they had taken. So, in summary, like I said, the one to underline, always inquire of the Lord. We don't want to be those people who forget. And I've forgotten many times. And you look back and you go, how could I do that? And sometimes I think it's haste. I asked, but I didn't get an answer right away, so clearly I needed to carry on. No. How many times in Scripture do we see wait on the Lord? Wait on the Lord. The Lord does not mind making us wait. Joshua and the leaders, they didn't have to make a decision that minute. If need be, they could have waited for a while. Seek the Lord, wait on the Lord. When it comes to the schemes of the enemy, or even trying to discern situations, decisions, we're not going to figure it all out on our own. Inquire of the Lord. Inquire in his word, his counsel, and inquire personally. Talk to him. Pray. It's a good thing to seek counsel with other believers, those who are mature in faith, and talk about things too. Always with the desire to hear from the Lord and obey him, to not fall into that place of, I forgot to inquire, and therefore make wrong decisions. And a good example also in this passage is when things go sideways, you're in a jam, seek the Lord and do what is right. So, okay. They didn't, one thing Joshua did correct, he didn't compound things by, I believe if they had gone to war with the Gibeonites, that would have created another problem. That would have been disobedience to God. So even though it's humiliating, this is the leader of the nation. You can kind of even hear the people, well, Moses never would have done that. I mean, they complained against Moses all the time, but Joshua was like, no, this is what we did, and this is what we have to do now. And just because it's hard doesn't mean we're going to shy away from it. And going before God frequently, saying, Lord, I need your grace. I need your input. Please give it to me, Lord, and help me with where I'm at. And the Lord, it's that, here we are in your hands. Do what is right. Show me what is right and help me to obey. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And help us, Lord, be those who remember to inquire of you. Lord, we pray that we'd be walking in step with your Spirit, because we know your Spirit is within us, and He will go, hey, did you pray about this? Did you inquire of the Lord? So my prayer, Lord, is that, like your word, like even something as simple as, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. I pray that that would be brought to our minds as we live day by day. And help us, Lord, to operate in your power and your might. That we would stand against the wiles or schemes of the enemy. And help us, Lord, to live by faith, not by sight. And we love sight. It's comfortable. But help us live by faith. And we trust that you will do this. And we thank you for Jesus' sacrifice, for the forgiveness of sin. And Lord, may each one of us here be humble enough, even if we have not made that commitment to you, but even now that we'd be humble enough to say, Lord, I put my life in your hands. I will put my trust in you. Here's my life. Do what you will with it. Help us to be those people, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.